God began to speak to us about land dynamics about maybe 4 years ago. And we've been studying so much on land. I've been studying on land and praying, and God has been revealing to us a lot about the land. If you're going to change your city, you're going to change a nation, we have to know how to pray for the land, how to bless the land, how to dislodge demonic altars that are ruling over the land, how to dislodge demons from the land and release an open heavens. But anyway, that's not. I'll be sharing that at Pastor Kim's church. I'm going to be there from tomorrow up to Sunday. I'll be sharing about those three things that determine who takes the land. Because he who takes the land takes the people. Mm-hmm. And he who takes the people takes the resources. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because nations have three most important things. The people, the land, and the resources. Those are the three most important things that God has deposited in every nation on planet Earth. So, but today I want to share with us on a topic that has really been burning so much in my heart for the last, like, maybe 1.5 years. And I began to inquire from the Lord and pray and ask, why is it that things are not happening the way they are supposed to be happening? And what I'm sharing about is why prayer takes long to be answered. You know, there's a difference between why God does not answer prayers and why prayers take a long time to be answered. And I've been traveling in many nations, even in our church back home in Kenya. We pray a lot. We have the 24/7, and people in the church pray. People from other churches come, because it is a territorial altar, because it is right in the heart of the city. But I come to realize something, that many people are praying and they are wondering why their prayers are not being answered. You know, people are praying for revival and transformation of nations. And, you know, as we travel all over the world, you find that people are getting discouraged. Intercessors are getting discouraged. They are wondering, why is God not answering prayer? So, as I began to pray about that, because even me, I have personal things that I've been praying about. Some things God has answered, other things He has not yet answered. I began to take that journey of inquiring from the Lord, why is it that prayers take long to be answered? And so, because the same thing that you, you can pray for something for 10 years. It can take God 10 years to answer a prayer. But the same thing, if you pray in a certain way, it can take maybe 6 months. Praise the Lord. You know? So, the question to you is, do you want 10 years?
No.
Oh, oh, you want God to answer your prayers quickly?
Yes,
do you want God to bring revival to Australia when you are 99 years old and you don't even have the energy to celebrate the revival? And the transformation, because you've lost all your energy. It depends. So, I mean, it's been a very interesting journey, and I began to put some of these principles in practice, and we began to see that God answering prayers more quicker. So, let's look at a few scriptures here. Let's look at the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 4. Okay, before we read 2 Kings chapter 4, let's look at Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. The Bible says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." Okay, so then we can go back to 2 Kings 4, 29 to 30. "Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, This child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes." Now, this is a story about the woman of Shunem who could not give birth to children, and one time Elisha passed there, and the woman decided to put up a house for the prophet. And so the Bible says that often, as many times as Elisha passed there, he spent in that home. Now, because she was able to perceive that this was a holy man of God. But then in the process of time, it was realized that this woman did not have children. And so the man of God prophesied, and within 1 year, they had a baby boy. But it came to pass that the child fell sick. And the child, the father, told the servants to take the child to the mother. Mothers are very special. Mothers have a very special love for the children, Of course, I'm not saying fathers don't, but what I mean is that I think because mothers carry the children in their wombs, there's such a very strong bond between mothers and the kids. But the child died. And when the child died, the woman went to look for the prophet. But the husband told her, "You cannot see the prophet today because it is not new moon or Sabbath. Because the prophet always stayed on the mountain in the presence of God. It was not always, he was not always available. It was not always available. Some of us are over available. Praise the Lord. We are over available. Our phones are over available. Every time people call you, you are on. Because even when you're praying, your phone is on, Lots of times people look for you and they can't get you. You are in the presence of God, you're praying. Amen. So the woman, decided and said, "It is well, whether it is new moon or it is Sabbath, I don't care, but I'm going to go and meet the prophet." And so she comes to the prophet, and the prophet is so much moved to see this woman because there was already a background of relationship with her. I usually tell people that have relationship with God before you have battles. Because when battles come, you see many people don't have relationship. They wait for the day of battle. And when battles come, that's when they begin to call God. "Oh Lord, come down. Oh my God, I love you. And nothing happens. Because there was no relationship. So develop relationship before battles, so that even when battles come, you would stand and tell the Lord, even before this battle came, I was worshiping you. I was seeking your face. And if you were God before the battle, even in the midst of the battle, you are God. Because answers, prayer is basically answered based on relationship. Jesus Christ gave that principle in John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So that is the principle that governs answered prayer. It is abiding relationship. Abiding in his presence will cause God to answer our prayers. So anyway, so the woman had relationship. So that's why the prophet was concerned. Many people came to the prophet, but the prophet was not so much, you know, moved like this woman. So then the prophet told Gehazi, and he said, take my staff and go and put it on the child, you know, and the child maybe will come back to life. Now, that staff, I believe that Elisha had used that staff for so many miracles, you know. That's why he gave it to Gehazi to take it, to use it to bring back the child to life. But the woman, because this woman was very deep, spiritually she was a woman that had deep spiritual perception. She understood that the staff could not be able to address the magnitude of the problem. Because you see, in spiritual dynamics, I mean, every problem has a certain weight. Not all problems are the same. Other issues are more weighty than other issues. You know, it's just like, I mean, let's look at maybe from a medical perspective. You know, if you get a headache, you know, you can take Panadol and the headache can stop. But if you get cancer, you cannot take Panadol. You know, Panadol is too weak. I believe, you know, I'm talking in front of a doctor, so I hope I'm not making mistakes. But what I mean is, Panadol is a very weak painkiller. You're going to need maybe something like chemotherapy or something that is more powerful to deal with that. The Bible is very clear that let the things of the world teach you the things of the Spirit. So, you see, many times we have weighty matters. Matters that there's something that I call the weight of the matter. What is the weight of the matter that you're praying about? Many times you have a matter that is too weighty. It is too heavy. You know? I mean, if you have cancer, cancer is not a headache. It is not a stomach pain. It's not a running stomach. I mean, if it is not attended to, it can be a catastrophe. It can end in you losing your life. While on the other hand, if you have a headache, you know, you may not necessarily lose your life. So many times we approach weighty issues as if they are very simple issues in prayer. The prayer that, you know, that is needed for a certain matter may not be the same kind of prayer that can be able to move a certain matter. This staff had worked miracles before. But when it came to the child is not sick. This child is dead. So you cannot bring a staff and put it on the child and expect the child to come back to life. You know, because at times the weight of the matter is like this. And the level of prayer is this down. Remember in the book of Mark chapter 9, Jesus Christ, when he came from Mount Gilboa, and he got his disciples, they were sweating to cast out a demon. And they could not cast out that demon. You know, because... So he came and he cast out the demon out of the child. And so his disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And Jesus said, this kind does not go away except by prayer and fasting. I mean, there is a class of demons called this kind. Praise the Lord. Ask your neighbor, are you facing this kind?
What kind are you?
You know, there is a class of problems. There is a class of problems. There is a class of sicknesses that is called this kind. It's not ordinary sicknesses. It's not ordinary problems. So you cannot approach this kind the way you approach. There are some demons. You don't need to fast. Just need to, you demon, out, go. Yeah? You know, there are some of those limping demons. You know? I mean, they are too weak. They are too feeble. You know, they are too lazy. Yeah? You just need to command them and they'll go. But there are certain demons. You know, in Africa, we have demons. I usually tell my friends in Asia, when I go to China, Hong Kong, Malaysia, I tell them, demons, some of the demons you have here are too lazy. Because I see them sacrificing apples. African demons, you can't give them apples. I mean, because, you see, they give them apples, they give them vegetables, they, you know, you can't, because you see, the power of an altar is determined by the level of sacrifice. Now, how much does it cost to buy an apple? So if you're giving a demon an apple, that means that demon is too cheap. Because, you know, in Africa, you know, those demons require cows. They require bulls, not just a cow, but a bull, you know. Their demands are too high. They require blood of babies, blood of human beings. And so they are able to attract more demonic power from the gates of hell, because spiritual dynamics operates with sacrifice. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the power, whether in the demonic kingdom or in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why the altar of Jesus Christ is too powerful, because he did not give the blood of goats. He gave his own blood. And his blood was not just blood of a human being. It was the blood of God. You know? Because, I mean, you cannot get the blood of a blood which is like the blood of Jesus anywhere. Where would you get the blood of Jesus? He's the only human being that was born without sin, without iniquity, without transgression. So even if the devil offers 1,000 people, they cannot attract some same power like the altar of Jesus Christ. Because he had no sin, it had no iniquity, it had no transgression. It was pure blood, because his conception was supernatural. So, what is the weight of the matter that you are facing? That's why I tell people that before you pray through something, sit down and think through it. Don't just, well, oh, no. You know, you need to have certain things. You need to allow a burden to consume your heart. You need to ask the Lord to give you a burden, you know, either a supernatural burden, or if you're praying for your city, praying for your nation, at times you may need to get information, read newspapers, watch television, see the laws, like now you're having a plebiscite. I mean, information helps to impart burdens upon our heart. Then when you go in the presence of God, you have, you are heavy, you are consumed. So, Elisha, Gehazi came, but the stick could not work, you know. And so then Elisha finally comes, and what does he do? He goes and lays on the baby, you know, mouth to mouth, you know, nose to nose, and so on. Of course, in trying to impart the life back into the child. And the Bible says the body of the child began to warm up. But then the child never resurrected, you know. And then he stopped at that, and then he began to walk around the room. What was he doing walking around the room? He was praying. He was generating power. Because, you know, power in our spirit is real. It increases and it decreases. When he slept on that child, he sensed the power has decreased. You know, what was in me, the virtue that was in me, has already been released into the child. The child has gotten warm, but not back to life. Now, I need to generate more power. I need to, because the power that is inside of you and me in the spirit is potential power. It's potential. It's not kinetic. So prayer is like a the way hydroelectric power is manufactured. You know? Prayer activates that power, converts it from potential to kinetic. Praise the Lord. So if you don't pray, you remain a potential Christian. You remain a Christian with potential to open the blind eyes, potential to cast out demons, potential to do exploits, potential. And many people go to heaven with their potential. You know? Because, you see, because you see, you cannot separate two things. You cannot separate altars and covenants. Covenant, this is the covenant. The word of God is the covenant. The old covenant and the new covenant. It has covenant promises. The promises that are here, they are spiritual. They're not physical. They are spiritual. But we cannot enjoy just spiritual things. We need them to be converted into reality. So altars convert spiritual blessings into reality. You know, without altars, the covenants always remain idle. The promises are there. It's like a man who is married to a wife. You have a covenant with your husband, but you don't talk to one another. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you don't talk to one. Oh, some men, I met some men, they said they are too busy to talk to their wives, so they put up a WhatsApp group. They talk to their, they are too busy to talk to their children and to their wives, so they put up a family WhatsApp. We want to eat fish. You post it there. So, such a covenant exists, but it is a very weak covenant because there is no communication. So, this thing of him walking around the room, he was converting, I mean, generating more power, generating more power. And we need to do that. All of us here don't carry the same amount of power. All of us are children of God, but we don't carry the same amount of power. Some of us are carrying very little. Very, because maybe you pray for 5 minutes. You know? Amen.
Extension cord.
Yeah. So, but look at it. So after he had finished to generate the power, we don't know for how many hours he prayed, walking to and fro the room. You know, we don't know whether it was 5 hours. Then he came back again on the child, and the child came back to life. Now, so the thing is, the weight of the matter, don't handle issues like every issue the same way. Always look at how weighty is the matter. Many people have many powerful prophetic words over their lives, but those prophecies shall never come to pass. In fact, I've come to learn something, that nowadays when the Lord gives me prophecy, the next question I ask always is, what is it going to take me to see this prophecy come to pass? You know? Because certain prophecies, there is a story, I'll not read the whole of it because of time, but it is found in the book of 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minister." And it came to pass when the minister prayed that the hand of the Lord came upon him. "For thus says the Lord, you shall not see the wind, neither shall you see rain, Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink both you and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell down every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. Now, this is a story. Israel is going to fight against the Moabites. And before they go to fight, they need a prophetic direction. Elisha comes on the scene. They do the worship. Glory to God for the worship you've had here. You know, worship is very important because it opens, it rearranges the spiritual firmaments, and prophetic words are able to come forth. So, he gives a very powerful prophecy, and he says, you know, water is going to come, and actually, water came out of nowhere in the wilderness. And then he gives the second prophecy, and he said that you're going to overrun the Moabites. You're going to take their cities, you're going to fell their trees, you're going to block their wells, and wow, Israel is so happy. But let's look at 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26 to 27, to see if that prophecy came to pass. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. Yeah? The prophet whom Elisha prophesied, Israel is going to overcome Moab. And who is Elisha? He's not an ordinary prophet. This is not a prophelier. This is an authentic prophet. You know, we have many prophelies, you know. They prophelie instead of prophesying. maybe in Australia you don't have them. This is an authentic prophet that is carrying the mantle, the double portion of the anointing of Elijah. This is not a common prophet. But the prophecy, the first part of the prophecy came to pass. But the second part never came to pass. Actually, Israel, at the end of it, lost this battle. Why? Was Elisha deceiving? He never lied. But the thing is, the sacrifice. When the king of Moab saw that he was losing the battle, he decided to sacrifice his son, his eldest son, who was supposed to be the king. And that sacrifice was a game changer. You know, the Bible says there was great indignation against Israel, and Israel was chased back. Why? Because of the level of sacrifice. Many times we receive many powerful prophecies. God is going to use you. God is going to take you to nations, and God is going to, you know, God is bringing revival to Australia, the southern land of the Holy Spirit. Yes, and we go and sleep and say, oh, revival, come. Glory to God. My dear, it will never come. You know? Dr. Chu gave me so much detail about that, how that prophetic word came, you know, yesterday. And it is a true prophetic word for this region. But it is gonna cost you sacrifice for you to see that prophetic word come to pass over this land and over the islands. It is gonna cost you something. If you do not sacrifice in prayer, in fasting, in seeking the Lord, I can tell you that word will remain hanging in the realm of the spirit until Christ comes back. And I pray that that will not happen. You know, you will arise and begin to pray and fast and seek the Lord for that. So Israel could not, you know, the first part came to pass, but the second part never came to pass, because at the end of the day, what did Israel give? There was nothing. You see? So the thing that I've come to realize, Mama, can you please just help me with two cups? Two cups. One with water, full, another one empty.
Whiskey.
I've learned something in prayer. And as she brings that, I learned that the spiritual realm does not always operate with a half or a quarter or a virtue. The spiritual realm operates with fullness. Let's just look at a few scriptures here as I explain that. Let's look at the book of John. Let's first look at the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8.
Yes, thank you so much.
Chapter 5 and verse 8. Revelation. But when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 420 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vows of odious, which are the prayers of saints. You know, this is John the Revelator. John was, you know, in the realm of the Spirit, there is a realm called the realm of prayer. There is a space called the space of prayer. The spiritual realm has many, many places. And every realm, when you access that realm, you get so much understanding and revelation and knowledge. So he visited that realm called the realm of prayer. So then he saw what we are reading down here. He saw the elders having each one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. You know, the prayer. In fact, he speaks about odors. Are they odors? What is the English word?
Incense.
But this one is odors. How do you pronounce it?
Odors.
Yeah. Odors. Okay.
Elders.
Okay. Odors. Yeah. Because anyway, you have an Australian accent.
Smell it.
I have a heavenly accent. So. Anyway, odors, whatever. But the thing is about this is audio smell, isn't it? So every prayer has its own smell. Every prayer has its own smell. The way God smells the prayer. So if it is a prayer that is mixed up with, let's say, complaining and grumbling. Oh God, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? I'm praying. You are not answering. Oh my God, what is wrong? What is happening? Why are you not coming down? I believe when God smells that kind of prayer, I believe he coughs. Whose prayer is this? Oh, it is a prayer for Lillian. This prayer. But then there is that prayer which is supercharged with faith. I worship you. I bless you. No matter what I'm facing, Lord, I believe things will change. I have faith. I will see you in the land of the living. Yeah, everything is going to be, you know, that kind of prayer. But when God smells it, he says, play it again, play it again, play it again. That's a good prayer. But anyway, the thing is this. The Bible here speaks about those golden vials. They were full. They were full. So, which means that when we pray, there are golden vials that are filled with our prayer. Now, when you read in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, the Bible again speaks about the full. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of Amorites is not yet full. You know, God wants to give the land to the descendants of Abraham, but he cannot. Why? Because the cup of iniquity is not yet full. In the presence of God, there is a cup of iniquity. When that cup of iniquity fills up, then judgment comes upon the land. You know, judgment, God will judge nations based on when that cup is full. And I mean, there are quite a number of things that make that cup to be full, especially idol worship, broken covenants, bloodshed. I think there are five major things that defile the land and quickly fill up the cup of iniquity. I've shared that, I think, much in my book on the land, healing the land. But the cup, so before the cup fills, Because God is a God of mercy, he will always stir up intercessors to begin interceding and praying and crying for mercy, and then they empty the cup. And instead of judgment, revival comes. But the thing is that iniquity fills up. And actually, where we are today as nations, many nations, the cup of iniquity is about to be full. It is about to be full. Because the darkness has increased. In every nation where you go, you know, man is just, there is a spirit of insanity that has entered man. You know, the things that are wrong is what we are calling right. You know, and what is right is what we are calling wrong.
Yep.
I mean, people are mad.
Yes.
This is the spirit of madness. I'm telling you, you know, because the things that when we were growing up we looked at as right, I mean, now is what they are saying. That's why you're having a plebiscite. I mean, things that, I mean, even dogs seem to have a better understanding capacity than man. I have never seen a male dog running after a male dog. I mean, that's how low we are falling. That in this 21st century, we cannot be able to discern whether I'm a man or a woman. So our toilets, we must have. Yeah, we've fallen so low that we cannot discern the simple fact that I am a male and a female. That is not ordinary. It is a spirit of insanity from the gates of hell.
Amen.
You see? Yeah. So now look at, so the cup of iniquity is about to be full. About to be, and that's the reason why God is putting in the hearts of people the desire to pray, desire to research more about prayer, desire to know about intercession. It is a godly thing. In every nation where I travel, I meet people that are desiring to know, how can we pray for our city? How can we pray for our nation? That is not orchestrated by man. It is orchestrated by God, because God wants to save nations. You know, but then look at the book of John chapter 4 and you can write on another scripture, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full. Everybody say full. Full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. You know, what I'm talking about is the spiritual realm always operates with full, not with half, not with a quarter. When something is full, then something is going to happen. You know, so the last scripture we look at here is the book of John, chapter 2 and verse 7. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. Jesus is at the wedding of Cana. They have run short of wine. And so the mother tells him to do something. And he tells them, fill them to the brim. Not a half, not a quarter. This is what happens in prayer. You see, when you pray, every situation requires a certain amount of prayer. Every move of God requires an accumulation. Prayer is accumulated. It requires an accumulation of a certain amount of prayer. And once that has been achieved in the realm of the Spirit, then revival is going to come. The Bible says that when the clouds are full, then the rains come. When the clouds are full, then the rains come. The clouds must be full for the rains to come. So, when you pray today, now, this is where it is going to take you 10 years. The requirement, let's say, is to feel this. That's the requirement. For that move of God, for that revival, for that transformation, or for whatever it is. So, then you pray every day. Okay, you pray for 5 minutes. Shatter, 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 shatter. Amen. And then the angel. Hallelujah. Yes. So tomorrow again you come back. Hey, moto, 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 you know. Some people have one tongue. They pray in the spirit. But because their prayers are too short, for 20 years they've been using one tongue. Moto, moto. They are like intercessors for Motorola phone companies. So what happens? You are 10 minutes. Now, how long is it going to take you to fill the requirement?
Taking into account the evaporation a long time.
How long is it going to take, brothers and sisters? Because listen, Jesus said, fill to the what? To the brim. Before I can change the water in wine, you want it to be made into wine? Yes, I'll change it into wine, but I'm not going to do it when it is half. I'm not going to do it when it is a quarter. You must fill it to the brim. And I'm not going to fill for you. Your work is to fill. Then I'll change your prayers into miracles. I'll change your prayers into healing. I'll change it into deliverance. You know? Then the next 3 days, you say, so many people are telling Jesus, change it into wine. Change it into wine. Answer my prayers. But Jesus says, come on. Feel, feel. Tell your neighbor, fill it up. Then, for the next 5 days, you are so discouraged because God has not answered your prayer. You say, I'll not pray. I'll not pray. I'll sleep. Status quo. Same status quo. Things don't change. I mean, that's why before revival happens, there has been background prayer, which has been taking place for some time. You know, to fill that jar that is required. So, and the Lord demonstrated this to me on quite a number of things that we've been praying about. Early this year, we never had rain. In Kenya, we had gone without rain for 6 months. It was totally dry. Cows were dying, animals were dying. There was water rationing. There was rationing of electricity because the water levels were too low. But we were praying for the rain. But you know how we were praying for the rain? Oh Lord, send us rain. In the name of Jesus. Just by mercy, Lord. By your mercy and by your grace. In Jesus' name, bring rain. Amen. We prayed like that for a long time. When we meet on Sunday, somebody gets on, steps on the pulpit and say, let's pray for rain. In the name of Jesus, rain, 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 rain. 3 minutes. But we went for 6 months without rain because of the way we're praying. You know, you're dealing with issues and the way you're praying, you say, oh Lord, 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 heal, just heal. Just heal that one of cancer. Heal, 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 heal my sister. In Jesus' name, amen. Really? With the magnitude. And then you are on your phone. Hallelujah. Sharara, Lord, heal her. Heal her of cancer. Heal her of cancer in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You're watching the Premier League. Manchester versus Liverpool. And you're saying, oh Lord, yeah, just move, 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 move quickly, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, the match is going on. Really? It cannot happen. There is what is called an acceptable sacrifice. Yeah. Not all sacrifice, God accepts it. You know, we've lowered the level of God so much that we can give God anything. Take. He rejected the sacrifice of Cain. It was unacceptable. God is God, brothers and sisters. We are children of God, but we must honor God. We must honor God. God is God. He's above us. He says, if I be a father, where is my honor? That's what he says in the book of Malachi. Where is my honor? If you really say that I am your father, where is my honor? You want to give me any kind of sacrifice? So, the way we pray is going to determine how quicker prayers are going to be answered. The Lord, so we prayed, nothing was happening, the things were falling apart. So, I went to the Lord, to the presence of the Lord to inquire from the Lord, you know, as the Lord was expanding this to me, how to pray. And the Lord told me, call for a solemn assembly. Spend the whole day in prayer. So I called for solemn assembly for churches, people from different churches. We gathered on a Saturday. We prayed from 8. And the Lord told me, don't even pray for rain. Just repent for the sins of the land. You know? We prayed from 8 to 4. Just repenting and crying out. Everything shut down. Phones shut down. Our focus was God. You know? And 15 minutes to 4, we prayed for rain. But do you know that that same day, around 8 at night, it began raining in other parts of Kenya?
Hallelujah.
That same day. We didn't know about it because, you know, after that we went, we were so tired. The next day we came to that. The next, on Sunday after we finished service, the rains came to our city. Much rain. And so the Lord taught me that, and other things that we've been actually dealing with in prayer, there is a certain level, because you can decide and say, Lord, enough is enough. I am tired. This, I've gone through this. This is enough. You know, and you can pray and pour this water in that jar, and within maybe a month, the requirement is met and answers to prayer will come. But what kind of prayer is that? That prayer is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah. 66. Isaiah. Yeah. Yeah, I know my African accent is... Verse 8. Isaiah 66.
66.
Yes.
66.
Yeah. The Bible says what? Who has heard such a thing? Or who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth for her children. Now, this is a scripture that speaks about Israel. But it has fundamental truth. A nation cannot be born in one day. And the earth cannot bring forth in one day. But God says, but as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So where is the answer? The answer is in travailing prayer. Travailing prayer will birth things quickly, more quick than this prayer where we pray, our hands pocketed. Oh God, Lord, just come down, come down. Then you get your hot chocolate. Lord, do it. Do it in the name of Jesus. Then you told Jesus, wait. Have an important call. Travailing prayer is desperate prayer. When you get desperate, you know, there are those times you go in the presence and you cannot even pray. You can only cry. You can only cry because of the heaviness of the matter on your heart. You know? When you get to that level, I can tell you that is quick. I mean, a woman can carry a baby in the womb for as long as, until she travails, the baby will not come out. Yeah. You have to travail. You have to push. In fact, in Kenya, the midwives even slap the women. Yeah, they slap you. You have to push. Yeah, when you go to the labor ward, they are given anointed slaps.
And castor oil.
Push! Push! When ladies are, you know, giving birth, I don't have, I know, Australian ladies may be very different. But I'm talking about the Kenyan. I mean, there's no joke there in the labor ward. There's nothing of saying, you know, bring me my lipstick. And the baby's coming. Fix my hair. No, there's nothing like that. It's just serious business. Travailing until the baby comes out. So, desperate prayer works wonders. If you, when you come to that point of desperation and you pray desperately, you know, you can't avoid to cry because you are eaten. This is the kind of prayer that Anna prayed. Eh? Anna prayed this kind of prayer. She could not even pray. She could just, you know, she was just crying and weeping. And Eli said, are you drunk? She said, no, I'm a woman with a sorrowful spirit. In 1 year, she had gone to Shiloh many times, but nothing had happened. She had prayed, but nothing. But on that day, something happened. When we got married, we could not have children also. I love children so much. Oh, I love children. That's why we run a children's home. It is out of love for children. I love children. Because in my family, we were born 28 children. I love children so much. You know? I used to pray like that. Oh Lord, give us a child in the name of Jesus. My friend, things were not happening. Until one day, I mean, I got on a 40-day fast and I said, Lord, this is enough. I'm tired of this kind of thing, you know. And I remember one time after praying, I'd been praying for over 5 hours and I was crying, I was weeping. God came down. My wife was in the room. I laid hands on her and I prayed for her that day. That same month, she conceived. After waiting for over 5 years, because we wanted to have children, immediately we got married. But because of that style of lackadaisical style of prayer, you know, you just, oh God.
We just practiced though.
Lord, just remember our country, Australia. Just do it, Lord. We can't see. Okay, of course, that prayer goes into the jar, praise the Lord. But it may take that kind of prayer to feel maybe 20 years. Or it is a healing of somebody. I mean, we've got to transact serious business. Serious business with God. When we go in the presence of God, serious, he that comes to God must know that God answers prayer. You know,
Pour out your heart like water. I want us to pray. I want us to pray that the Lord will baptize us with that spirit of travail. You know? Many of us cannot even cry. Especially men. We don't know what it means to cry in the presence of God. I pray that the Lord will baptize you with tears. You know? Yeah. You see, we are all children of God. We God needs to break us. You know? Where we can cry out to God. Cry out for Australia. There's so much darkness that wants to take over this nation. This is the time for prayer for this nation. You know? The enemy, you know, wants to take over this country. There is a contention in the realm of the spirit. Darkness is coming like a flood. What kind of society are your children going to grow up into? Government can't stop that. It's only a praying church that will stand on the walls of Australia. And so we cannot allow that. We cannot. We can push back this darkness, and we can open the heavens. So let's just stand up and ask the Lord to anoint us with a fresh anointing for prayer. Open your mouth and pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, anoint me. Anoint me with a fire. With a fire of prayer. Oh, Nabasatai. Open your mouth. The way that the fire of prayer enters your life is through your mouth. If you close your mouth, I don't know where it is going to pass. The fire doesn't enter through your ears. It is through your mouth. Your mouth is the gate. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when the fire came down, they opened their mouths. Rasha tamadad. Rasha rabarabarabarab. Masha nabagada. Rasha rabarabarabarab. Rakata. Those who want to log into the prayer, you can draw closer. Marasha rabagada. Rama karabashantarabagados. Bakabra. You want the